Shields, and you're listening to The Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I have with me Jenny Alexander, here to talk about her books, writing, and all things cozy. Jenny, would you like to introduce yourself to my Snoops and Sleuths?
Hi everybody, I'm Ginny and I'm British, but I live in Ireland and I'm really pleased to be here with Leanna today. And we've just been talking about the weather like sad people, but now we're ready to talk about cozies.
So is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
You know how in the book, in the front of every book, there's a disclaimer that says all of this is complete fiction and any reference to real people is completely coincidental? Ignore that. Everything in my books is based on somebody I know. I've killed the same neighbor 3 times now because he really annoys me. And it's like, how can I reincarnate him in my next book just so I can kill him off again? So yeah, I mean, my amateur sleuth is a younger, fitter version of me who goes out around the village walking her dogs and talking to people. And lots of the characters just grow from people I know that, of course, they change. And of course, they're not really those people. But I'm often really influenced by something I will see in the village or something I hear or somebody I meet. There's a pair of older ladies who walk the village with their little dogs in the first book, and they were based on a couple of my neighbours who always walk together, and one of the dogs is quite yappy and horrid and one of the dogs is quite sweet. So they turned into characters. But they do take on lives of their own or deaths of their own, depending on what happens to them.
Oh, I love that. Would you have any advice for those who want to write their own books or cozy specifically?
I think cozy specifically, have fun with it. I didn't set out to be a cozy writer. I have written some other books as well. But the cozies are really, really fun. But my biggest advice, apart from that, my sensible advice is keep a good record, because most cozy books turn into a series and a lot of those become quite a long series. Keep track of your characters, make a character profile for everybody, even the small ones. Something I've started to do is bring in characters who maybe got one line in book one and suddenly develop them into a bigger character, maybe in book four. So just remembering those little details. Hold on a minute. Jess spoke to a man who was walking a Dalmatian in the park on one line in book one. That man could come back in. And I also make maps of everything. I'm quite visual. And actually, while I was waiting for this call to start, I was working on a little sketch of the high street for my new series I'm working on, because it helps me keep things in track if I know where the locations are. I'm visiting the same location again and again in every book. I've got to keep it consistent. If there's a farm here in one book, I can't suddenly have it in the other direction in the next book. So make maps, keep records, and have fun, a lot of fun. And don't kill your neighbors too obviously.
I absolutely get the having maps of your locations. Oh my gosh. So many times I've been like, I would love a map of my main character's ranch so that I know, okay,
yeah,
she went to the milk barn. Where is that? She went to take care of
exactly.
her alpacas. Where are they? And
yeah, I mean, I put the map of Ballyfortnum, which is the village in my first series, I've put that map into the books, but I'm kind of continually evolving it. So the map's been redone for books 3 and 4 because I've got new characters coming in. So I had to quickly add a little bit more to the map. But just like, you need to know if your character turns left out of her house and gets to the river, the next time she turns left out of her house, the river's still got to be there.
Right.
Because if we mess it up, a reader's going to find that and let us know, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like with one of my favorite series, the Cat Who series, I've read that so many times that it's like, okay, in this book, the main character says they didn't know their grandparents. In this book, oh, this song was my grandmother's favorite song.
Yes, yeah.
And you.
I had a reader contact me this week actually about something similar. She had pointed out that my secondary character, Marcus, who starts off as the policeman and then Jess and him become better and better friends as the series goes on. Marcus is half Chinese and his name is Marcus Wu. And in book two, I mentioned that his mother is Chinese and his father is English. So my reader contacted me and said, well, then why does he have a Chinese surname? So then it's like, luckily, I could answer this because I know Marcus's backstory. But I haven't put Marcus's book story in the books, so the readers don't know this yet. So now I know what my next short story backstory is going to be. It's going to be Marcus's backstory to explain that there is a reason why he has that name, even though his mother is the Chinese and not his father. But yeah, so it's really weird, isn't it, when readers suddenly go, "What about this?" I'm like, "Do I know the answer to this?" And luckily, I did.
Right.
But sometimes you don't, and it's like, oops, caught out.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah, might need to just write myself out of this corner in a future book. But
Right.
again, that's the great thing about writing a series, isn't it? Because you can kind of go back and write yourself out of those corners while you're writing into the next one.
Exactly. Speaking of our characters, do you have a favorite character, or would you get in trouble with your other characters?
I, Marcus, who I just mentioned, I've been in love with Marcus since he strolled into the first book, and so many of my readers tell me they are also in love with Marcus. He's just, I don't even know why, but he's just so lovely. And actually, I'm in love with him. Most of my readers are in love with him. Somebody told me that. I think I was describing him, and when I'd said he was he's half Chinese, and I started to describe him, and this friend of mine sent back a photo of somebody who looked really weird, and it's like, thanks for that, because now I've got this image of this really weird looking cartoon character where I had this really attractive man before. But yeah, I'm in love with Marcus for sure. Jess is a bit too much like me, but my other favourite characters are Jess's nieces, who are only 5 and 7 in book one. And they are adorable and they are really, really useful for asking awkward questions and for explaining things to readers that maybe I forgot to explain a bit sooner because Clara and Bryony can then chip in with, oh, Auntie Jess, tell me what's going on here. And I'm like, oh yeah, I
You're
can spell this out now. But they're very sweet. I love them a lot. I like most of my characters, and if I don't like them, I kill them, so that's fine.
Oh, our doomed to die characters.
Yeah. I mean, I did kill somebody who I actually didn't want to kill, but then, like I said, I've reinvented the same person again so I could kill them again anyway. So that didn't really matter. Just different name, different location on the map, same person in my head.
I tend to create a character that it's like you're reading it and you're like, oh yeah, he's not gonna live long in this book.
Not at all, not at all. Or even making the person who is the killer somebody that oh, hold on a minute, I liked you. I don't want you to kill this person because I want you around for another book. So sometimes that's a bit awkward when you suddenly realize you've either got to kill someone or have someone whisked off to jail who you actually were quite invested in. I had problems with that in the third book in the series, the one that's just come out, because I kept writing in these characters thinking they would be the killer and then getting to like them. Oh, not you then. No, not you then. Okay, not you either.
Oh, with my second book, I had kind of the opposite problem. I had my killer set. Then all of a sudden, I had another character step in, and as I like to call it, the Emperor's New Groove entrance. And it's like, it was Mary. And it's like, no, the clues were not aimed at you.
Why do our characters do that? I mean, I had a problem. I can't say too much because it would be a bit of a spoiler, but I tried to write Jess into a certain relationship and she was having none of it. And I'm like, I've just written this character in for you and now you don't want him and now I've got this character here. Can you not just try to fall in love with him? She's like, no, I don't want to Why couldn't
That's
they do
great.
what we want them to do?
Oh, what's so funny is I was just having a talk with my friend over a project that I'm going over, and she goes like, "Okay, this is completely different than being a novel writer, because at least with novel writers, you can control how our characters are gonna behave." I am sitting there laughing my head off because I know the exact opposite is true.
Yeah, right. Our characters can't control how we behave.
Exactly.
I think in Cozy, I think that's particularly true as well, because again, it's back to writing a series. I think you really get to know your characters, and it is like they become your friends and they have as much in the relationship as you have. It's like a very 50-50 thing, isn't it? Like I say this, and Jess is like, oh no, what about this? Why don't we do it this way? So I don't think you get that when you're only writing a standalone quite so much, because I don't think you get under your character's skin in
Yeah,
quite the
it's like you
same way.
don't get to know them well enough. Like, I'm currently working on the, I've kind of lost track of where it's going to be in the series book. But I had done it once where Sabia, my main character, and her husband are at a family reunion and they sit down. Her husband comes from a very wealthy family that has a tendency for a verbal sparring at the dinner table.
Okay.
Sabia was having none of that. So
Yeah.
I had to rewrite the whole scene where it's like, okay, you're not going to meet that part of the family. You're going to stick with your in-laws, which you kind of like, and that's going to be fine.
And did they listen to you?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm
He
developing
liked.
a new series at the minute. I mean, I know my characters from the Diet of Death and the Jess O'Malley series really, really well. They've been in my head for about 5 or 6 years now. But I've just started a new series and I'm getting to know this whole new cast of characters, which is really fun.
She likes her in-laws, so having her go to dinner with them and her husband and everything and kind of give the big announcement that they're expecting a baby, that's all good. It was the verbal sparring with the other half of the family that she was like,
Oh,
I am
oh.
not putting up with being insulted behind my back. I am not putting up with this. And the fact that they send the kids off to a whole nother room while the adults have dinner, no, I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was a whole long list of no's.
That sounds like quite a problematic group of characters. I've kind of got round that by not really having any in-laws show up in my book yet. I mean, I have the brothers and the sister. The brother and the sister come in a lot, but the parents are very much out of the picture. One's
Right.
dead and one's living off somewhere else. It's like, thank goodness I don't have to worry about in-laws or parent relationships.
So, do you have an author that's most influenced your writing?
I was thinking about this after I saw your questions and listened to you asking other people, and I've been really racking my brains about this. And I have to say, not really, because I read a lot and I read across all different genres as well. I don't just read cozy, I love psychological thrillers. I was brought up on books from a very early age. I would say I was influenced more by what I read as a child, which were the old Enid Blyton books, The Famous Five. So early kid-aimed mysteries, really. But just I think that love of reading that my parents gave me is more influential than any specific listen to me saying that word properly, specific author. So I do find that I kind of go in phases as well. So because I've been writing more cozy, I've been trying to read a lot more current cozies just to keep abreast of what's going on. And then I find I kind of get slightly influenced by whatever I'm reading at that moment in time, which is weird. But yeah, specific authors, everybody who puts a book out.
That's a great answer.
It's either that or cheating, isn't
To me, it's a great answer because I get it. I
Yeah,
mean,
I think it's really hard.
I've gone from sci-fi to fantasy to cozy to I'm in the classic mystery mode now and really enjoying the stuff from the 30s and 40s.
Aren't they the best, those
Oh,
golden age mysteries? I
yeah.
mean, again, I was brought up on Agatha Christie. My dad had every Agatha Christie book ever written, bar one, which he's never been able to find. So we were just brought up on those and even the old films, and I could watch those
Oh,
forever.
I am such a fan of the black and white movies.
There were a lot on over Christmas. We ended up binging a lot of old, mostly Agatha Christie's, but a lot of those old movies at Christmas time this year.
The Thin Man is and always will be one of my favorite black and white movie series. It got me to actually read the Dashiell Hammett book and see the big differences between the two. And
Yeah, I mean, oh, the differences between books and films, that's a whole other subject, isn't it?
oh
That we can
yeah.
discuss when our books are made into films.
So, if you and your main characters sat down for coffee or whatever your preferred caffeine intake is, what would you get and what would they get?
It definitely wouldn't be coffee because it would be tea. I mean, I'm
Oh,
English.
of course.
Jess O'Malley is Irish, but she lived in England. Again, I wanted to be very careful that I am British, but living in Ireland. So I gave Jess that same background, so I wasn't tripping on any Irish toes by doing something, cultural appropriation or any of that kind of thing. I didn't want to suddenly be instilling all this Irishness that I was perceiving as a Brit. So Jess, like me, drinks a lot of tea. I mean, Irish people drink a lot of tea as well, but Jess and I would sit down, we'd drink a cup of tea. Wouldn't just be one cup, it would be a big old-fashioned pot of tea. We'd keep topping it up, we'd reboil that kettle over and over. There'd be a big plate of scones, and they'd probably have some cream on them, maybe a bit of jam. And it wouldn't just be me and Jess. I think Father James would come along because he'd have heard we've got scones and tea on the table. And then Linda, who lives opposite Jess, she'd come running over with something in a cake tin that might be gingerbread or maybe a nice sponge cake. I mean, it doesn't really matter what we're drinking as long as there's cake with it.
Oh, that sounds like quite the gathering.
It would become a gathering because everybody in my books eats a lot of cake and drinks a lot of tea. Not like me, honest.
Oh, I hear you on that one. Everyone in my books, well, not everyone, because Bridger is trying to curb Sabia's caffeine intake a little bit, but coffee, chocolate, sweets. Not me at
Sweets.
all.
Yeah, no, not me at all. I was really mindful though when I created Jess that I didn't want her to be some skinny, perfect figure character. I wanted her to be real and I wanted her to be that person who likes eating and isn't afraid to eat. So I was really mindful of that. And again, back to is my writing inspired by actual life? Yeah. I mean, give me cake, let me put on a few extra pounds. Yeah.
You're not writing, what hobbies do you have?
I have to walk my dogs quite a lot to walk off those extra cake pounds. I wouldn't call that a hobby though, that's more like a necessity. We live in the middle of rural Ireland. We live in an old farmhouse. We have quite a big garden, so I do spend quite a lot of time outside in the garden, but having said that, it rains all the time. So we have something called a polytunnel. A lot of people don't seem to know what a polytunnel is. I have them in my books because Jess is not me, honest. But a polytunnel is like a sort of a big covered greenhouse with a plastic covering, and it's a bigger space that you can garden like undercover. So we put one of those in about 15 years ago. So I go and do the gardening outside undercover. And when I say gardening, I mean I'd have a cup of tea and pretend I was gardening, and I might sit down and read a book out there. So reading, time in the garden. We do like to get out with the dogs. I mean, I like walking out in the country. I have a bit of a sad middle-aged life, I think, because I just like walk my dogs around the village and drink a lot of tea and sit in the garden pretending to pull up weeds. Oh, no, there's more. There's more, actually. At Christmas, I decided my kids usually come home for Christmas, and this was the first time ever that our children both didn't come home. I'm like, I'm going to teach myself to crochet. So I bought loads of yarn and taught myself how to crochet. I watched a few YouTube videos and I'm like, oh, I'm so good at this. But now I'm at the stage of unpicking all of that early stuff because I realized I wasn't that good at it. So yeah, so I've kind of taught myself to crochet, which is kind of cool. And
Oh,
makes me
that's
feel really old.
hey, I crochet too,
Oh,
and
good. Not so old. Not so old.
I loved crocheting until I started trying to make little dolls.
I'm still on granny squares. And I mean, the first ones were really loose. And I'm like, these are so good. I've done these so well. And then they've been getting smaller and smaller as I've been getting better and better at the tension. So that's why I'm now unpicking all the first ones to like turn them into neat ones. But I haven't ventured any further than granny squares. I haven't done anything that needs to bend or shape or look like a figure.
I tried one doll, gave it up, and only because I discovered there is one stitch I absolutely hate doing, and if I can
Yeah.
find a pattern that does not require it, I may take up making dolls again, but every single one of them requires the magic circle, and I cannot.
Yeah, no. I mean, I can knit as well, but I can knit scarves and I can knit squares. When I was about 12, I knitted a jumper and I insisted to my mum that I was going to knit this jumper for myself, going to make this sweater. And we went off and we bought the wool and it was quite expensive. And I did it and it was awful and it didn't fit and it looked ridiculous and the shape was horrendous. And my mum made me wear it. And she didn't just make me wear it, she made me wear it on a school trip. And I don't think I knitted very much after that ever. So I'm not going to crochet anything I might have to wear.
My goodness.
Yeah. I should probably take up something safe and easy like scuba diving or paragliding instead.
So how can my snips and sleuths follow you?
I am very active on Facebook more than anything else. I used to do a lot on Twitter, but that was like hard work. So I have my Facebook page, which is facebook.com, Ginny Alexander Author. My books can be found on my website, which is ginnyalexander.com. I am on Instagram sometimes. I'm on Instagram more in the summer when there's more things outside to take photos of. So Instagram, I'm Ginny Alexander Author. Facebook, I'm Ginny Alexander Author, and my website is just ginnyalexander.com. And I love, love, love hearing from people. So if people want to get on my Facebook and chat to me, I will talk to anyone.
And you are a delight to chat with because I'm having so much fun.
I'm sorry, I do talk a lot. I spend my working day when I'm not writing. I teach English as a second language. So I spend my day talking to very small children who don't understand much English. So anytime I get an English adult to talk to, an English speaking adult to talk to, I'm like, whoa, let me talk and talk.
Oh, this has gone by so quick. I can't believe we're on the last question already.
I'm
So what?
sorry.
Oh, don't worry about it. You made my job so easy. So what is one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
I love this question. And Jess O'Malley, her complaint, she's the main character in my Irish Village Mysteries book. Her main complaint would be that I just keep rocking her up in the middle of murders. I mean, nobody wants to stumble over a dead body every time they walk their dog. But Jess seems to manage it. Marcus, bless him, dear darling, lovely Marcus. He would complain that I keep giving Jess these murders when actually he's the policeman. Could he maybe get to deal with the murders? So, for both of them, their complaint would be too many murders, too much excitement. This is a quiet rural village where nothing is meant to happen. But I'm getting round that with my new series. In my new series, my sleuth is an elderly sleuth. She's based on my grandmother. My grandmother died when I was very, very young, and I don't remember her very much, but she was blind. And what I remember most about her is not my grandmother herself, but her guide dog. So I've based this new character for my new series on my elderly blind grandmother, but my grandmother never got to be elderly. She was only in her 40s when she died. And this character, she's fairly old. She can't see. She's not doing a lot with her life. She's retired. She lives with her old husband in a little old bungalow. She's really happy that exciting things are happening to her. So she's not going to complain about me at all.
Oh,
I
I
don't
love
think.
that. I love that.
Not yet, anyway. She hasn't had time yet. We're only on book one.
Well, I've had so much fun talking with you, and it's been great. These books sound wonderful.
They are fun. I mean, the Jess O'Malley series is set in Ireland and it's more along the British style of cozy. So it's the books are a bit longer than some of the American ones. They're maybe a little bit more realistic. But I love, love, love writing them. The new series will be set in a small English village and probably a little bit more along the American style of cozy. They'll be a little bit shorter and a bit more light-hearted, I think. But I love writing them. They are such fun to write.
Well, Snips and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here on the Cozy Sleuth. I'd like to thank you all for joining me on this journey. And if you're a cozy author out there who wants to be on the show, reach out to me at www.thecozysleuth.com/contact and we'll get you on the show. If you like listening to cozies read by live actors, check out the Cozy Mystery Rats Maze, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.